Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rand Show on AM 770 KTTH, streaming on the KTTH smartphone app. A young student was beat up so badly by a bully that he required facial reconstruction surgery. The school might have been able to have prevented it. That is what's trending.
What's trending in the classroom?
This is a pretty awful story. A kid by the name of Josiah keeps getting bullied over at Frontier Middle School out in Graham. He says that his classmate has been bullying him, pushing him, making fun of him. Apparently, Josiah is on the autism spectrum. The latest incident is just especially horrific. He was attacked, tried to fight back, but it definitely didn't end well for him. He spoke with King 5.
I tried hitting his leg, see if that would have any effect. It had no effect, and then he just wound up like a punch and just punched me straight in the face while my head was on the ground.
It did pretty extensive damage. The Pierce County Sheriff's Department says a police report was filed with them earlier in the month when this happened. And according to the mother, and she had images of x-rays to prove it, Josiah suffered multiple fractures in his face. And as a result, he had to go through some reconstructive surgery. Now, Monique, the mother, said, look, this has been going on for a very long time. This didn't just all of a sudden start. This has been going on for a while. And the fact is, I told the administrators about it. And apparently nothing was done. That's what she said.
A lot of verbal bullying, but he's been pushed, you know, down, you know, he's been pushed down in the bus. He's been to where we've talked to the bus driver, you know, to keep a better eye on the stuff going on.
Now, bullying occurs. It does. It is a fact of life. I know there are people who like to talk in bumper sticker talking points. We have to eradicate bullying. You're not going to eradicate bullying. It's always going to occur. What you can do is give kids tools on how to deal with it and make sure the kids know when it's getting to the point where you do need to tell an adult. Monique says this bully has been victimizing a lot of other kids.
A number of parents have reached out to me and expressed their concerns and experiences from their children. And a number of them have children that aren't in the school district anymore because of the bullying issue and it not being addressed.
That seems pretty bad, right? That's a pretty dramatic thing for a parent to do. But you'll do that for your kid if you feel like there are no other options. And that's what Monique says, at least. Those other parents felt no other options than to pull their kids. Now, the Bethel School District put out a relatively useless statement that King 5 printed. It says, we want to assure you that every school in the Bethel School District takes student safety, including bullying and fighting, seriously. Really? What about this particular school in which it doesn't sound like you took it very seriously? Oh, but we did. Oh, okay. Got it. Thanks. While we can't share specific information about the incident due to privacy laws, it's important to inform you that we are committed to making Frontier Middle School and all of our schools safe places to learn. School administrators have been in contact with the family to check on Josiah and offer any support they can. I mean, the support is a little late. I mean, you could have shown support a little bit earlier by getting involved. And in fairness, maybe they did and it just didn't work. Remember, we're getting the side of the story from the mother who is going to fight for her kid. And I get it. And she's, you know, probably feeling still just gutted that he went through this. And so maybe there were moves that the school took in order to prevent this. In fairness to the school, it is kind of difficult to figure out when you do get involved, given the fact that bullying will take place. And I don't know what kids are bullying other kids for nowadays. I'm assuming it's the same as when I was a kid, like weird skin, stupid name, things like that. That's my guess. Or maybe, you know, your mother's a conservative.
I bet there's a lot of that.
You're a loser MAGA supporter. My mom says you guys are all insurrectionists. I mean, I suppose that's possible. Probably not, though.
I like the voice crack. So you did the
yeah,
kid voice.
I do it really well.
That's good.
Josiah, meanwhile, and this is like the worst clip to play. You never want to hear any kid say this, but you kind of understand why he does.
I don't want to go there again. I don't want to go to any school again because I don't want the risk of this happening to me again.
Like, I feel for this poor kid. I think all of us do. When you experience this kind of traumatic moment in your life, it's going to stick with you. Obviously, he's a young kid. They don't tell us how old he is. He looks like he's in the older stage of middle schoolers, which is either, what, 12, 13, maybe 73. I don't know how old people
are. I would have guessed like 14.
Yeah, right. He looks like he's 14. 14-year-olds are in middle school?
Yeah.
That's not junior high?
Oh. Well, junior high and middle school are like the same thing.
Are they the same thing?
Junior high 7 through 9, okay. Middle school 6 through 8.
Well, he's not 18.
No.
Okay.
Very obviously no.
So he's somewhere between 10 and 17. You know, when you go through this, this is going to stick with you. And I get it. And now this poor kid, he's got to go back to school unless the parents want to do homeschooling. But the kid's going to eventually go back to a school. And he's going to be living with this kind of just dread every time he gets up and goes into the classroom, wondering if today will be the day he gets a new bully. And I don't know what you do to combat that. I don't. Because let's be honest, if you tell your kid, yeah, you're probably going to be bullied. You're either going to be bullied or the bully. That's just the likelihood. That's not a real great place to be. And I've previously taken a stance on what I think should happen. I don't think it's responsible. I don't encourage people to do it. But if I was a father, I would teach my kid how to fight back. And he will suffer consequences if he does that. I'm willing to accept that because I don't like kids. But, I mean, if I were being bullied, I'd want to fight back. And there's always that scene in the movie where you talk to that creepy neighbor who turns out to be a really cool guy and a former boxing champion, and he takes you under his wing and he teaches you how to fight. And then you go ahead and you accidentally go a little bit too far, end up getting expelled, and then your parents sue the neighbor. But something has to happen.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Who's is this the Karate Kid? What are we talking about here?
I said boxing.
Oh, whatever. What movie is it?
I just made that up. It was a combination of a bunch of different movies at once.
Oh, okay. Are you going to make it yourself?
No.
Oh.
I have zero interest. We have an update from Alderwood Middle School. We told you yesterday exclusively that a student was accused of assaulting a teacher, a 14-year-old student. Now, we're told by a parent via her son that the student kicked the teacher down a flight of stairs. We confirmed with the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office that a teacher was, in fact, assaulted. She was sent to the hospital as a result. And not only were police involved, in this case, sheriff's deputies, but the kid was expelled. So we got another email today coming from Alderwood Middle, and they were just giving an update on the staff member who was injured by a student. We're grateful our colleague was released from the hospital last night and is recovering at home. They go on to say that there are some rumors circulating on campus that weapons were involved, but they say there were no weapons involved in the incident. If you have any questions, go ahead and contact. You know, this one I weirdly find more jarring than a kid getting bullied, mostly because it doesn't normally happen. The kids are hitting and beating up the teachers. And there was that video from, I want to say, like a month ago in Florida, where that 6'5" kid just pummeled this poor teacher.
That was nuts.
The fact that she even survived that was a miracle. And kids are getting more dangerous, and they're feeling like they can get away with this stuff. And some of it is probably environmental, like, again, broken families or families that don't treat their kids the way that they ought to be treated, and they learn to react in violent ways. I also think that they're looking at, speaking of environmental, what's going on in society. There's a story every single day about some kid who's stealing a Kia or a Hyundai and going for a joyride. We get these stories every single day, and I have to imagine some of it is getting to them and saying, oh, I'm going to get inspired to do the same kind of thing because they're not getting punished. I do weirdly think that there's some underlying feeling that these kids get when they see and hear these stories. So, in other words, Democrats are to blame. I think that that's a small part, in fairness. I think it's a part. I think it's a small part. So we wish this kid Josiah the best of luck. Stay away from creepy neighbors, even if you think that they're going to teach you how to be a grade A boxer.
Who would ever assume that about a creepy neighbor?
Well, because, you know, the creepiness almost, like, brings you towards them. Like, there's something up with this guy. I want to learn more.
When they're
creepy neighbors, aren't you curious why they're so creepy? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, but it generally ends there. I'm not drawn to them. That sounds even more creepy.
You should see the movie The Burbs with Tom Hanks. They had creepy neighbors, and once they discovered, they did a little bit of an investigation, and you know what they found out? They're all murderers.
So they didn't teach the kid how to box?
No, I remember not sardines even indirectly. And a pretzel. That's all I remember that movie. And dead bodies. Push the button.
What's trending? Equity.
So all week, Woke 5 News has been focusing their news department on these puff pieces, these feature stories on black culture because it's March. And by because it's March, I mean just because. There's no real reason. They just decided to do this because they're a woke network that is staffed primarily by white progressives who suffer immense guilt for the things they've never actually done, but they want equity. They determined that they were not spending enough time in the black community. So they decided to do a disproportionate number of stories about the black community, not the Asian community, not the Latinx community, not Native Americans, definitely not Jews, not Muslims, but they decided to go specifically for the black community. Every once in a while, you get someone who's transgender featured in one of these stories. And each story is more ridiculous than the last, more frivolous than the last. But now they're just promoting, again, race-based decision-making that we're supposed to say is woke, we're supposed to say is evolved. They want you to make shopping decisions based on the race of the business owner. So they ran this press release report for someone named Justice Jones, who's based out of the University District in Seattle, who created something called the Black Pages, like the White Pages, only, as the title suggests, looks primarily, exclusively, I should say, at black business owners.
Everyone that's inside of our book are black business owners, black business operators. We're trying to recirculate the black dollar within our community.
Recirculate the black dollar in our community. What's a black dollar? A dollar that is spent by black people. Where'd they get that dollar? Do they all work also only for black business owners? Is that what makes it a black dollar? It's just a dollar. Justice is just a dollar. But Justice wants to recirculate the black dollar in the black community, which means you should be looking for businesses that are owned by other black people. He's telling that to black people, by the way. I'm assuming there's a lot of white folks who watch Woke 5 News for the wokeness who think this is also just a great idea.
You can live black for a year straight if you felt like it. The only thing that's separating people from doing that is the knowledge of where to go.
Got it. I mean, that must be the only reason they don't do it. Definitely not choosing to, you know, pick businesses on the basis of things other than race. That might also be a reason why people don't live black. I'm not going to live black. I'm going to live my life. And I'm going to go to businesses, some of which are owned by black people, some of which are owned by white people, some of which are owned by Asians. Native Americans, probably not, because they're just not a large population of business owners here. And if they are, I'll shop there too. If they serve a product or offer a service that I'm in need of, and it's quality. That's how people make decisions. I, as someone who is Jewish and gay, I wouldn't want someone to say, I only listen to your radio show because you happen to be Jewish and gay. I don't want that. I do not want you to listen for that reason. I'll take it, just like any business owner would take the business. But at some point, it becomes incredibly offensive. Starts off as condescending, then it gets offensive because you're effectively tokenizing people. Whether it's another person who happens to share an identity doesn't matter. You're tokenizing people. You're saying that we're not going to support you because you offer a good product. We're only going to support you because of the color of your skin or your gender identity or your pick whatever identity you want. Solomon owns a gym in Seattle, and he's loving this idea.
The city of Seattle, you know, where our so-called black population isn't too big, but I feel like we have a lot of entrepreneurs here that don't get the light that should be shined upon us.
Got it. It should be shined upon. Why? Why? Because of your skin color? Or because you offer a really great service? There are lots of businesses that offer really great services. Some of them are owned by white people. You know what I don't see a whole lot of? Just random reports highlighting businesses. You just don't. Do you know of a business that does really, really well that you love but doesn't get a whole lot of attention?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's because that's how life works. But when you are told to expect something and different communities are told to expect something, you then, well, guess what? You expect it. It's the same way with telling someone they're a victim. Then they go out of their way to look for reasons to consider themselves a victim. And that's really, that's a version of what we're talking about here. You want to be supported simply because you're a black business owner? Why would you degrade yourself in that way? I only want people to listen to me and give me attention because I'm a gay Jew. Why would I degrade myself like that? Why not stand up and say, hey, I do really great work and I hope people will notice? Like most small business owners. I just, that again, that we're in 2023 and we're leaning into the identity obsession, and now we're saying we're going to hold different meetings for people based on their skin color. We're going to give you special attention. We're going to highlight you. We're only going to shop based on skin color. It's bizarre. And I don't know why it's not making more people uncomfortable. I honestly, I don't. Now, of course, when a traditional white guy says that who's straight, they'll say, that's because you're used to it as a white person. They can't do that with me. I'm Jewish and gay. I fall into two. Well, they don't count Jews as anything but white, but I'm gay. So that's a marginalized community, and I don't like it. I just, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Call me crazy. Makes me feel uncomfortable. Or maybe just call me a normal person. Because I feel like before this woke movement, pretty much everyone was on the same page here. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Something happened last night at the Mavericks-Warriors game. Did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
Well, I need you to explain something to me.
Okay, I watched the clip. I understand. Okay. I was not watching the game.
There's some, let's just say, controversy over a call in which in the third quarter, everyone seemed to be confused because you had referees giving the ball to the Warriors to inbound rather than to Dallas, meaning the Warriors were given the ball under their own net. Right?
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. Right?
Yeah.
You usually do that from the sidelines. Right?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it was an out-of-bounds call that was overturned, is my understanding.
Okay.
So that's why they were right there?
Yeah. The problem was no one expected that, including, by the way, the Warriors players. Everyone was on the other side of the court, as is tradition, and most of the refs were on the other side of the court. But they just gave it to the Warriors, and they end up scoring 2 points.
No, what is going on?
Dallas decided not to guard their own basket.
That is...
that's going on Shaq of the Fool right there.
They were all on the wrong side. That's their basket. That's the Warriors' basket. We just saw Jordan Poole dunk on that side. And the Mavs line up to defend on the wrong side.
This is like, the Warriors' basket in the second half. There's no Maverick defenders. Looney's like, hey, thank you very much.
I've never seen this in my life.
Welcome to Shaq and the Fool.
They were all lined up to defend on the wrong side.
We just showed you the Buick drive of the game where Poole
drove
on this to
side.
That basket.
It was right in front of us.
As someone who doesn't pay attention to basketball, don't know most of the rules. I know the very, very, very basics. Even when I watched the clip, I knew it didn't make any sense. Or at least what I was watching, I was like, what did I just watch? What is happening? And you can maybe just write this off as one bizarre and truly awful call, except when you lose by 2 points, which is what happened.
Yeah, that's the funniest part in all of this.
They lost by 2 points, the Mavericks. And so now they've formed or filed or say they're about to file a formal protest with the league claiming that this was a mistake that cost them the game. Now, it's always hard to say the mistake cost you a game unless it was literally the last play.
Yeah, there's 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah. So I would be pretty ticked off if I were the Mavericks as well, just given the score.
I mean, yeah.
You lose by 12. It's a little bit different. You can still gripe. If you win, you're obviously going to shut up. But losing by two,
There was some sort of awareness that wasn't there. Yes, it probably was a drastic miscommunication, but it's just funny seeing this on an NBA court. Like, I used to ref, like, third grade girls basketball, and 99% of the time, they knew which side of the court to be on. So why can't we get that right in the NBA? Even with all of this, why can't we get that?
What
why can't we nail that?
What does the NBA do? Like, what can you do? Because it's not the opposing team's fault, right? It's not the Warriors' fault. They took advantage, just like presumably the Mavericks would have taken advantage. So do you rescind the win? Do you make
You know what they're going to do.
What? I honestly have no idea.
They'll release a statement saying there was an officiating error made in Wednesday's game between the Warriors and the Mavericks.
In that voice.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it?
Yeah, and you know, we'll hold ourselves to a higher standard going forward. I don't anticipate anything would come out of it. Because you can't.
I don't know. I say this admitting I don't know what to do. I don't know what I would do if I was in that situation. And again, it's harder because it wasn't the last play of the game. If it was the last play of the game, I do think that it's a lot easier. Maybe they should do a pickup game. Like a makeup.
How would that help?
One play. You do it the right way, and whatever the result is, you count it. Just redo the one scenario.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying. I like that.
All right.
The IRS continues to be aggressive. They're increasing the number of officers in Washington State, so don't try to take on the IRS yourself. That would be silly. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution. He will help. N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show. Be right back.
.com.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. Look at the time. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services, online at alpineclean.com. It's the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most. We start in Centralia because we don't normally get stories like this, not just out of Centralia, but anywhere. Two people were arrested in connection to the death of a man who was found to not be breathing in his apartment, that according to Fox 13. It happened a couple mornings ago, 9 a.m. Centralia PD were called to an apartment because they got reports that someone found in the apartment a 22-year-old unconscious. He wasn't breathing. So officers arrive, and it's clear that he is dead. He's already deceased. So they do their investigation, and they find out that this 22-year-old had drugs in his system, illegal drugs. They decided to try to find out who sold them the drugs. Where did it come from? Because they believed that it was fentanyl. So they investigate, not sure how, not sure who they spoke to, what they did, but they were able to identify two people who were recently, allegedly, dealing drugs to this 22-year-old. And they made an arrest. One of those who was arrested is a guy from Tacoma, 36-year-old Demetrius Washington. Another person arrested is a 22-year-old from Moscow, Idaho. Her name is Emma Bailey. And the police arrested them for delivery of a controlled substance. They were booked into Lewis County Jail. Now, again, they point out in this Fox 13 piece, it's unclear what kind of drugs the pair may have allegedly gave the victim, but investigators believed fentanyl was present in it. What does that mean? It means whatever was given to this 22-year-old, it was laced with fentanyl. That's the allegation. Now, the investigation is ongoing. They're trying to find anybody else who has any more information. Now, let's just, for the sake of argument, assume everything in the story is accurate. And the allegations are accurate. Someone sold the fentanyl-laced pills. whether or not they did it knowingly, to me, doesn't matter. I understand that there are circumstances in which even your neighborhood drug dealer doesn't know what's in the pills that they're selling because they get it from someone else. It's coming in from southern border. It's coming in mostly, especially if there's fentanyl in it, it's coming in from cartels in Mexico. It gets funneled into this country. It comes through ports of entry. It comes over the border that's open. And it makes its way up and down the West Coast. Starts in California, makes a pit stop in Oregon, and ends here in Washington. Sometimes you get some of the drugs coming from Canada, but that's not nearly as serious of an issue, or not significant of an issue, as far as just the bulk of drugs coming into this country. If you sell something knowingly or unknowingly laced with drugs and with fentanyl and the person dies, yeah, I'm considering you a part of that death. Will I say murder? No. My assumption is drug dealers, and I'm speaking just generally. Again, the people here are just accused at this point, or they've been arrested in connection, possibly. They've not been charged. But generally speaking, a drug dealer doesn't necessarily want to see their clients die, because that means less money for them. Some don't care. Some are just selling whatever they can, or they'll take advantage of anyone that they can. But others, they don't want to see their people die because that means they can't go up to them tomorrow and the next day and the day after that and continue to sell them product. But if you're selling an illicit substance, you're already breaking the law. You should go to jail for that. If the substance that you're selling ends up killing someone, you should be treated the same way as if you were an accessory to murder. Scum of the earth do this. The absolute scum of the earth do this. And I'm glad that Centralia is taking this seriously, or at least Lewis County is taking it seriously, thanks to the work of the Centralia Police Department. Meanwhile, it's taking shape in Tacoma. We told you about this, a homeless parking lot. It'll be the first one that Tacoma has. It's almost ready. I think they're about 2 weeks or so away from officially opening it. I don't know if they've already done, the people who are running it for the city, if they've already done some of the outreach for it. It's called the Holy Rosary Safe Parking Site. And it's part of the church or Catholic services. And they're going to offer spots for up to 20 vehicles. They're going to have bathrooms. They're going to have access to electricity, for example. And it's going to be a space for these folks to live, who currently live in either broken down RVs that maybe still technically function, but you look at it and you know there's a homeless person inside, or people living out of cars. And this is a place for them to basically leave their property so that they can spend time either going to work or finding a job. The crisis in Tacoma has almost reached Seattle levels. Justin just moved there. He spoke with Fox 13. And he was pretty surprised by what he's witnessed so far.
Obviously, moving across country, it's a big, big jolt seeing the populations that have been displaced here. So I think any small steps that are able to be taken to make sure that they can start to get back on their feet, I think it's really important.
Now, what I find a little disturbing still, even though I'm not surprised, Fox 13 said they spoke with some people who were a fan of this. And we'll play audio in a second from one. But they wrote, Fox 13 talked to folks off camera who were worried about increases in trash or crime in the neighborhood. They say a community meeting was scheduled recently for neighbors, which some folks kind of got surprised by. They didn't realize that this was going to happen, at least at this, on this timeline. But the fact that some people wanted to express their concern, just not on camera, to me suggests that there's still this fear that you're going to get bullied by the homeless industrial complex and their enablers. The same way there's not a lot of people locally who want to come out as a Republican because you fear you're going to get attacked for it, sometimes literally. We still live in that place. We still live in a region in which people are uncomfortable expressing themselves in ways that I think are pretty reasonable. Because this is not a great idea unless you are mandating the folks who are living at this system or in this parking lot, the site, unless you mandate that they get treatment for whatever it is that is causing their homelessness, it's destined to fail. And you got people like Zach, God bless him. He's well-intentioned. But he says, I wish the city would have come up with this sooner.
I thought the meeting was dead value.
Okay.
You know, I think it would have been better had the city come talk to the neighborhood sooner.
Yeah. I would like to see maybe a little bit more passion for demands that the city get involved a little bit sooner. Again, he's well-intentioned. He's trying to make the best with what he's given. And I have no idea whether or not he thinks it's going to truly be a success. But he doesn't seem to be pushing back in any meaningful way. And I think we need more people who not only will push back at these kinds of programs unless they come with very clear directives to get the people treated for their underlying issue. I would like to see people like that get a little bit more urgent in their demands, their expectations for a city. That if you're going to do this, you better tell us why. You better tell us exactly how it's going to work. You better tell us that there is going to be a plan. Now, again, in fairness, and I said this last week, they're not just letting anybody come into this parking lot. There have been a lot of those planned in cities, the city we don't talk about. But in this case, Caleb Carbone, he's the Tacoma Homeless Strategy Manager. He told Fox 13 that there's going to be some barriers.
With the behavioral assessment, there won't be drugs and alcohol allowed on site. The demographics are mostly going to be families and single individuals. There will be background checks. There won't be a sexual offenders and violent crimes that will be allowed through that background check.
Now, that is a positive. There's no doubt about it. Putting in place a rule like that or rules like that make this a little bit easier to handle. Because we know that there have been so many instances in which they will say, oh, well, we don't allow drug use and alcohol abuse, but we're not going to go into their homes. You know, we don't go into your home to make sure you don't have heroin. They say that as if we're the ones with the problem. So I don't know how they're going to enforce that. If it's truly just about families getting there, okay. I'm down with that. Again, though, if you've got someone who's got an addiction, if you've got someone who's got a mental health issue or just a physical disability that's keeping them from being able to work, unless you put the pressure on them to address those issues, nothing's going to come of this. You're just going to kick them out in 90 days, which apparently is how long any individual will be allowed to stay there. For those of you who live in Tacoma, do you think this is a good idea? Send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. While you're at it, next segment, you get to pick the news. Number one, an entire team in the NHL is not going to wear pride-themed jerseys. They've got an interesting excuse. Number two, a transgender cyclist wins the women's race in New York City. Which story do you want me to cover? Text the answer to 1-800-465-8770, 1-800-465-8770, and we'll do that story when we come back on The Jason Rant Show.
You pick the topic on The Jason Rant Show.
Indeed, you do get to pick the topic weekday afternoons at about 4:45, and you chose a story that came from Mediaite. Blackhawks won't wear pride-themed jerseys, citing concerns for Russian players. That according to a report. Now, we've seen a whole bunch of different versions of this story, and normally it's around a player or players who choose not to wear certain pride outfits as part of LGBT pride night or week or weekend, whatever it happens to be. We've seen a lot of it actually coming from the NHL, although not exclusively from the NHL. And part of the reason why a lot of players who make this choice choose not to is, number one, it might be against their religious belief, or number two, they just don't want to get involved in the politics of it all. And there are politics involved, unfortunately. It shouldn't be political, but it's become political. Now, when you get involved with the activism of the LGBTQ community, the greater community, what you end up getting lumped in with is this idea that there are 17,000 different genders. You can pick your gender out of a hat if you wanted to, and it would be fact that biological men or boys should be competing with biological women or girls. And even myself, I'm gay. I'm a member of the LGBT community, but I don't support all of the activism coming from the left. The left wing has taken over the activism from the community. At one point, they were reasonable and asked for marriage rights. I think that that was right, and I happily joined that. But now they're going overboard, and they're pretending that gender identity is the most important thing in the world, and specifically folks who identify as trans or who choose to pretend that there's no gender whatsoever. And I don't want anything to do with that. And I don't want anything to do with the party behind that. The movement has been taken over by progressives. I'm not a progressive. Now, in this case, they say the Chicago Blackhawks will not wear pride-themed jerseys against the Vancouver Canucks on Sunday. But it has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with even disagreement in LGBT issues. It's because they have a bunch of Russian-born players. And back in December, Vladimir Putin signed a law that banned what he called LGBTQ propaganda. And in Russia, it's illegal for Russian citizens to promote any information about these issues online, in films, books, or advertising, or in public. And so you have some Russian-born players who don't want to be targeted as an enemy of Vladimir Putin. They don't want to violate this particular law. Even though they live in the United States, I imagine they go back to Russia or they have family members in Russia. So Ben Hope of the Chicago Sun-Times reported last night that they won't be wearing the Pride jerseys in warm-up before the start of the game. And this despite the fact that it's Pride night that's taking place at their home game. Hope wrote, conversations with security officials about the uncertain implications of a new Russian law banning quote-unquote gay propaganda prompted the Hawks to make an organizational decision to scrap the Pride jersey plan this year, per sources. He goes on to say that three players on the team have ties to Russia. Nikita Zaitsev is a native of Russia. He's a defenseman. Goalie Anton Khudobin, he's actually from Kazakhstan, and the Swiss-born Philip Kurashev, he's a forward. Both of them have ties to Russia. In particular, they've got family that currently live in Russia. Now, according to Hope, Mediaite says a source told them that Blackhawks front office decided not to wear the warm-up jerseys because of that concern. Now, to me, that seems like a reasonable concern. I certainly hope that there aren't folks on the left, in whether or not they're in the LGBT community or activist group, I hope they're understanding of this, or should they risk their lives and their families' lives so that they can virtue signal what is effectively a meaningless position for a team to take? Pride night? Sorry, I'm not down with that anymore, because there are too many people who pretend that this is a movement that is still under attack, that still doesn't have civil rights. Not going to do that. There are too many people in the community, in the movement, who don't even acknowledge that there have been remarkable advances. They just don't. Well, homophobia still exists. Transphobia still exists. Yeah, okay. It's always going to exist. Always. People sometimes hold positions that are irrational. But dare I say, it's also irrational to claim that someone who doesn't believe in 17,000 different genders, to believe that that person is a bigot, is also, to me, irrational. I know plenty of people, including in the gay and trans community, that are just so turned off by this, by how far one particular side of this argument has gone, and it's alienated a whole bunch of people. And what bothers me is that just because I'm gay, that I might be associated with this movement. Sorry, no. It would be as offensive as someone who's black automatically assumed to be supportive of the BLM movement, where it's political. Can there be some, I don't know, shifts in thinking or terminology used when talking about LGBT issues? I guess. I suppose I can find examples of that, and I'd be happy to explain why the language used or the framing might be inappropriate or wrong from my perspective. But I'm not going to pretend that my life is difficult or more difficult because I'm gay. Not in 2023. Could I have said that in, 2000? Could I have said that in the 90s? No. Can I say that now? Absolutely. My life is not hard as a result of this. There might be aspects that are of my life that will be different from someone who's straight. And certainly we can all accept the fact that someone who's transgender, they're going to have more difficulties than someone who's not. Someone who's gay versus someone who's trans, they're going to have different concerns, right? They're going to raise different concerns, and their life is going to be a little bit different. And for some, dramatically different. If they're athletes, for example, they will be fighting this. But I don't view that as a civil rights issue. I don't view that as a constitutional issue. And I don't think most people do either. Because it's not like there's anyone saying that transgender people should not compete in any sport. They shouldn't even be allowed to play sports. Take that jersey off. We don't allow trans people to play basketball. No one holds that position. We're just talking about basic fairness against who you compete. If all of a sudden there was a transgender league or a league that's open specifically to transgender folks and anyone who wants to join can join, so that you have someone who's a biological female competing against a biological man who happens to be a transgender woman, okay, at least they all know it going in. And there's context to that. But we're talking about transgender athletes who are going into leagues that no one has even bothered to ask if everyone consents. And I think that that kind of conversation should be had, but we're not supposed to have it. Me having this conversation means I'm a sellout. That's how I'm viewed. Me being a conservative means I'm a sellout. It's bizarre. And it is so intolerant. You'll remember there was a player with the Flyers, also happens to be Russian, Ivan Provorov. And he decided to sit out the warm-up event back in, what was it, January. He didn't want to wear the Pride Night jersey. And afterwards, he said, I respect everybody. This is not about a disrespect. It's that, quote, my choice is to stay true to myself and to my religion. That's all I'm going to say. And of course, he ends up getting attacked. He is criticized as a bigot. You had that NHL Network guy go after, what was his name? EJ Hradik. And he effectively said, well, why don't you go to Russia? Go back to Russia. He said, quote, go back to where you feel more comfortable. I understand there's a conflict of sorts going on over there. Maybe get involved. That is first of all, it's an ignorant statement. You're going after this guy because of his religious beliefs? You're a bigot. Now, of course, EJ Hradik was celebrated as some kind of truthsayer, some kind of, I don't know, civil rights hero. People cheered on that bigoted statement. The tolerant left loves to claim tolerance while being intolerant to viewpoints that they disagree with. Mainstream viewpoints. There are people who won't want to wear pro-life gear. Does that mean they're bad as a result? Or just that we disagree with them? I imagine there's some folks who don't want to wear any kind of clothing celebrating gun rights. Would EJ Hradik complain about that? No, of course not. Because he is on the side of the people who don't want to wear those shirts or those jerseys. That's the hypocrisy here. So tolerant, except for when you disagree. I love gays, except when they don't do as I tell them. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text. Speaking of guns, I'll be on Tucker Carlson tonight talking about guns and gays, actually. The video will be posted afterwards later tonight at facebook.com/JasonRantsShow.